Now going to pray for and hand over to Chris as our gathering moves forward. Father, we thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy. We thank you for the freedom to worship you in spirit and in truth, the freedom to explore your word together, the freedom that comes from the Prince of Peace. I pray for Chris now as he speaks on your behalf, from your heart to ours. May your word live and burn within us to the praise and glory of your name. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. Good morning. Morning. It's so good to be with you this morning. And I'm just glad to be here with you on Sunday. And if we've not met before, then I'll introduce myself again. My name's Chris. I'm a member of the senior leadership team here at Christchurch, and have been at Christchurch for a very long time, it feels now, maybe just over 9 years. And we're here to stay, which is good. So I don't know what happens internally for you when money starts coming up at church. I don't know what you think about or how you feel about it. And I'm sure there'll be a whole bunch of reactions in the room. And I want to really just start by honoring the fact that there are going to be so many different financial situations in the room today, right? So each of us is going to be carrying a past and a present experience of money into the room this morning. Some of us, it's worth recognizing, are living week to week or even day to day right now, and money is so tight, and actually it feels like we're just being squeezed financially. And actually the thought of talking about money is really hard because our experience of it is just tough right now. Others of us are going to be maybe in the other direction, are going to be living in a real surplus of money, and that's going to be our experience right now. Whatever your situation, though, I want to say this morning that I'm not here to primarily talk to you practically and physically about money, because I believe that what Jesus talks about when he talks about money is it's more to do with your heart and your motivation than it is the physical and practical amount that you give. You may have remembered a couple of weeks ago, I spoke to you, I used my buckets are back. If you were here, I shared a message which I called "More Might Not Mean More." More might not mean more. And I used the story of the widow with her two little coins. And she gave them into the treasury. And Jesus points this woman out and says, this woman, she gave more than all the people who gave their large amounts. She gave more. Because to Jesus, more might not mean more. And this woman who gave her coin, she had that option. Remember that option she had? She had the option to give one or to keep one. She could give a coin or she could keep, and she could keep a coin, but she chose to give both. She chose to give everything. That was her. And Jesus said her two coins were worth more than the big coins. More might not mean more. Jesus isn't most concerned about the amount that you give. He's most concerned about the heart and the motivation with which you give. That's clear from that story. And so the message of the Bible, I think, is really clear that when it comes to discipleship, when it comes to your journey with Jesus, your walk with Jesus, I feel like the Bible's really clear. And it's a journey and a move towards everything. That's the message of Scripture. That our discipleship is the move towards everything. And so when it comes to money, that's included in the picture. So if you're struggling financially today, don't let your small amount hold you back. And if you're in a surplus this morning, don't let the amount you give be the thing that you focus on. Because it's about your heart and your motivation, not the amount. Okay, why don't you just turn to someone next to you and just ask them this question. Are you a competitive person? Okay. Just take 1 minute, have a quick chat. Are you a competitive person?
person. Okay. Is anyone willing to own up to being a competitive person? Give me a hand. Who's a all right. Yep. We got a few competitive people in the room. Our eldest child, Jessica, is very competitive. And I had to encourage her, or I tried to encourage her the other day, gently remind her to be encouraging towards her little sister because she was trying to win at something ridiculous again because she just needs to win. And she said to me, back to me, she was like, but winning is everything. Winning is everything. And I don't know where she gets it from, but it's definitely me. Because I got a little bit of competitiveness in me too. It's like the secret internal kind, you know. People look at me, I sometimes tell them about my competitiveness, and they're like, really? You're not competitive, surely? And I'm like, you just don't know what I'm thinking about. You don't know what's going on in here. I'm one of those secret internal kind of competitive guys. And I remember growing up, I played a lot of cricket, played a lot of sport, lots of different sports, but mainly cricket. And I remember I just hated that feeling of losing. Didn't you just hate that feeling of losing? Ugh, I hated performing badly and contributing to the team's losses. I found that really hard because it's hard to lose. It's hard to learn how to lose. And I don't know if you ever had anyone in your life in that process, maybe when you were younger or even maybe now, and they said that really annoying, so annoying, the thing that they said to you, and they're like, well, but winning isn't everything. Winning isn't everything. And you're like, well, it kind of feels like it. Winning isn't everything. The truth is, though, that when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, living in the fullness of our relationship with Jesus, learning to live in the reality that he is everything is really important. He is everything. And today in our verses, we're going to read in a second in the Bible, our verses, we're going to meet this man called Paul, who by a certain definition was absolutely winning at life. He was winning. And what he discovered, that when he met Jesus, he discovered that the appearance of winning wasn't everything. And actually that he needed to lose some things. He needed to lose some things in order to fully gain the thing that was Jesus. He discovered that when he met Jesus and the revelation of Jesus on the road. And so this morning, this approach is absolutely key to our money. Because remember, it's about the heart. And so the title of our time together this morning is Winning Isn't Everything. If you've got a Bible, I'd love you to turn to Philippians. You're going to go to chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 1. Philippians chapter 3 from verse 1. Okay. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, and as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Amen. Those are Paul verses if ever you read them before, right? They're incredible, absolutely amazing. And so, you know, I'm not a financial person at all, really. But in finance, you know, sometimes people talk about gains and losses. Gains and losses. I love here in Philippians, we talk about gains and losses. It's just a little bit different. Gains and losses. Just before we talk about gains and losses, I want to just mention something else, though. Our verses in Philippians this morning, they begin with Paul issuing a warning to the church in Philippi, away from the people who were still believing that following the law, observing the rules, was still the way to obtain salvation. Is a warning. Stay away from these people. And he says this in verse 3. That we Christians, us, so that's us, if you're a Christian in this room this morning, and if you're not, then we'll talk about that a little bit later. But if you are, we Christians, we people who put our faith in Jesus, in the hands of God, we don't actually put our confidence in things of the flesh, meaning that we don't put our dependence and our confidence on the external things of life. We don't depend on those things. Paul says that actually, it's our boasting in Jesus, which means the thing that we are most proud of. That's what Paul's really talking about. Like boasting in Jesus is to say, I'm in all the things in my life, this is the thing that I'm most proud of. That's what it means to boast in Jesus. I'm most proud of that. That's our true position. But isn't it easy to find pride in the external things of life? Isn't it easy to do that? And Paul goes on, he says, if anyone has reason to do that, if anyone has reason to put confidence in the external things, it's me. And you might be sat there this morning in a similar position. If anyone has reason to depend on the flesh, to look at the things of this world and go, yep, tick, 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 you might be sitting there thinking, yeah, that's me too. Isn't it amazing that we have someone here in the Bible who has every human logical reason to depend on all the stuff, money included. And in his revelation of Jesus and in his relationship with Jesus, he looks at that stuff and he's like, I'm actually going to go the other way. I'm actually not going to depend on this stuff. I'm actually not going to put any confidence in this stuff, even though I could. It's so encouraging to me. There's someone like that. He chooses to go in the other direction. One translation translates verse 3 like this. It says, for we Christians are the true circumcision who worship God in spirit and by the spirit of God and exalt and glory and pride ourselves in Jesus Christ. And we put no confidence or dependence on what we are in the flesh and on outward privileges and physical advantages and external appearances. There's a word that gets used there, which is this word dependence. And we've talked about this in this church before. The word dependence is really important. It's really interesting. And the penned bit of dependence, the penned bit, you'll see that in a few other different words. See it in pendulum. You see it in pendant. You'll see it in suspend. That the penned bit there literally means to hang down, to hang down. And so when it comes to dependence, what it really means is what are you going to choose to hang the weight of your life on? Okay? That's what it means to depend on something. You hang on it. You choose to allow your life to bear the weight on something. What does your life hang on today? What are you dependent on? What do you allow to bear the weight of your life? Because the thing is, the trouble with dependence is that often we depend on things that were never designed to bear the weight. So our career cannot bear the full weight of our life. Because what happens when it disappears? Money is not supposed to bear the full weight of our lives. We are not supposed to be dependent on money because what happens when it disappears? What are you going to allow to bear the weight of your life? Okay, I brought my clothes dryer with me, by the way. You'll be glad that I took the drying off before I came. Back to gains and losses then. Okay? Back to gains and losses. Sometimes in our walk with Jesus, what we actually need to do is we need to lose some gains and we need to make some losses. Okay? Because I don't know what is in your gains bucket. Paul's gains bucket was absolutely full up. He writes a really impressive list of stuff, doesn't he? Verses 4, 5, and 6. He lists all the things that make him great from the world's eyes. I don't know what's in your gains bucket. Maybe it's just like stuff. You know? Stuff that you have. I don't know. Maybe stuff. You're like, yep, I could depend on my stuff. That really links to the second one. Like, because Jesus puts this a slightly different way. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart's going to be found, doesn't he? That's what he says. He says, where your treasure is, maybe you've been gathering some treasure and that's in your gains bucket. Maybe money is your thing and you're like, yep, I got all the money. I'm good. I can just hang my weight on the money. Maybe it's outward privilege, like that translation said, or maybe it's physical advantage, like the translation said. Maybe it's outward appearance, and you're like, yeah, I can depend on how I look. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe it's career. Maybe you can depend on your career, and your bucket is just full, overflowing, and it's brimming, and you're like, yeah, tick, 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 tick. My life is looking great. I can depend on that. I can hang the weight of my life. My bucket is full. That was Paul's experience. My mum and dad recently gave me a bag of old cricket trophies. One like that's one of them. It's got a little ball on it. And under 15s league winners, 1999. Don't calculate that. Oh, this is a good one. Junior batting award, 1994. Yeah, we're getting older. I just thought I'd use these as a little example, you know, like I've really worked hard for these, you know. I actually don't know if this is going to hold the weight, but like I worked really hard for those. I sweated and I did all the stuff and I formed a big part of my identity growing up and it's great, but I can't hang the weight of my life on those trophies. What are you hanging the weight of your life on? I wonder what is in your bucket this morning. What's in your gains bucket? Because for Paul, what he realized, and the language here in the text is really interesting, because all his gains are like plural. So I'm just going to take that out a minute. The gains are plural. So he's like, yep, career, stuff, outward privilege. These are all my gains. But he, in his revelation of Jesus, what he actually does is he takes the whole lot in one fell swoop and he's like, well, that's just like one loss now. He's like, all these individual things that make up the gains, that things that we think we can depend on, he puts them all in individually and he's like, actually, in comparison to knowing Jesus, in gaining Jesus, that's just one singular loss. That's how the text is. It's just one great big bundle of loss. And sometimes in our walk with Jesus, actually, we need to learn to lose some things because we've got to lose some gains. We've got to lose some stuff out of the gains bucket and we've got to make a loss in order that we might walk into the freedom and the fullness that Jesus has for us in our lives. Because what Paul says is that I gained Jesus. I gained Jesus, and in gaining Jesus, I gained everything. And all this stuff that ticked all the boxes, all the worldly boxes, all the stuff, I consider it rubbish compared to knowing Jesus. It's all fluff. So winning isn't everything. Because this guy was winning. He was really winning. And he met Jesus and decided that Jesus was everything. What does he say? But whatever were gains to me, whatever was in the gains bucket, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Paul loses his gains. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Savior. And here's the thing, when it comes to money, 2 Corinthians 9 talks about God loving a cheerful giver. Shall I read? I'll read that. Paul says this. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So here's the thing with money, and this is supposed to be joyful. This is supposed to be full of celebration. And cheerful actually is a pretty average word for what this really means, by the way. The closest English word we get is hilarious. Right? Which says a little bit of a different thing than sort of cheerful. I don't know how to like describe cheerful. It's sort of fine, isn't it? Cheerful is quite nice. And that replicates our culture, doesn't it? Sometimes when it comes to giving, it's like, it's sort of, yep, it's okay. Actually, the closest word is hilarious. Now, if we were to come and approach our giving and our generosity with that mindset, how different would we feel about money? How different would we walk and receive the invitation that we have into the freedom with our money that God calls us to? Because it's not about the amount, it's about the heart. And the heart of discipleship is everything. I got to lose some gains. I can't depend on all this. I can't hang the weight of my life on this. It's all about dependence on Jesus. To let go, to trust him. To hang the weight of our lives on him, because he was designed to bear the weight. And a load of the stuff in that bucket right there was never supposed to bear the weight of your life. And so if you've been allowing some of these external things to bear the weight of your life, maybe today's a great opportunity to change the way you think and to ask God to help you with that. The great thing is that we go back to Philippians, and I'm coming to close now. When it comes to the verses in Philippians, well, the great thing is that Paul recognizes absolutely that it's a process. What does he say later on? He says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on towards the place to take hold of what Jesus took hold of for me. I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it yet. Paul absolutely recognizes that this is a process. We're all on different parts of our journey with money, right? It's a process for all of us. That's absolutely fine. We're not there yet. But it's about pressing on towards that place, towards everything. Because that's the place that Jesus calls us to. So today is kind of a brilliant day. It's a great opportunity. There might be some stuff that God's been speaking to you as we've been talking, as we've been going through our gathering, that actually is an opportunity for you to deal with him. And when it comes to money, today's an amazing opportunity to step towards the invitation of freedom that God gives us to be generous, which is kind of hilarious. It's cool. It's full of joy and celebration. We could be glad about that. And so, when it comes to our response, you're going to, on your seat, you've got a form. Okay, it looks like this. There's a pen underneath your seat too. Now, you may have come prepared and ready and have prayed about it and done all the stuff already, and you're like, yep, I'm going to fill in my form and drop it in the bucket in a minute. actually, there's probably a whole bunch of people here who have not got to that place yet, or you missed some communication, or you're just not ready to think about it on those terms yet. That's absolutely fine, but we want also you to take it away and to deal with that form with God. And here's the thing, we would absolutely love you to increase your giving. Even if it's like 50p a week, 50p a month, £1, whatever, it does not about amount. But if you can't give right now, that's absolutely fine. We totally respect that, honor that, it's absolutely fine. And on your form, there is a box that says comments. What we want to do is we want everyone to feel like they can be a part of this response. So if you don't feel like you can come up and drop your form in the bucket from a financial perspective, we'd love you to do it from an encouragement perspective or a prayer perspective. In the comments box, write an encouragement to us as a church. In the comments box, write a prayer for us as a church as we deal with money. And then drop your form in. Feel like you can be a part of that response. We want everyone to feel like they can be a part of what we're doing this morning. You're also going to need to tear it in half, because one half is for us and one half is for you. Okay, so before you drop your form in the bucket, tear it in half. Okay, worship team, let's have you guys up. Hannah, you can come join me as well, is that right? Yeah, great. We want to respond in our worship. We want to worship together. And then as these guys begin in our worship, you're going to have a few minutes to look at those forms and begin to fill them in if you're ready to do so. And we'd love you to do that today if you can. And what I'm going to ask you to do is drop your forms in the buckets. I'll put one over here. I'll remove my trophy. drop it there, that's fine. As we worship, as you fill in your form, then Hannah, after we've worshiped for a bit and we've just allowed that response to happen, you've maybe filled in your form, you've prayed, whatever it is, Hannah's going to come up and just lead us in that response. But we want to do that in the context of worship. So these guys are just going to begin. They're going to lead us. And as they do that, just get your eyes on the form. There's a pen underneath your chair. And then Hannah will lead us in how we get those forms out of your hands and into the buckets. Is that okay?
Perfect.
Great. Let's worship.